From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. The Senate resumes work this morning on legislation designed to overhaul the nation's health care system. Senators debated the plan all weekend. Majority Leader Harry Reid says many issues are still unresolved.
We're working toward a consensus. We're not there, but we understand how important it is we arrive at a consensus, and we're going to do that just as quickly as we can.
President Obama went to the Senate yesterday to urge his fellow Democrats to put aside their differences and pass the bill. The president welcomes Turkey's prime minister to the White House this morning. The Turkish leader is likely to face questions about his newfound friendship with Iran. NPR's Deborah Amos reports from Istanbul.
Ahead of the visit, Obama administration officials have gone out of their way to praise Turkey as a good friend and strong ally. But friends can have disagreements, and it appears there's a gap on the approach to Iran. In recent weeks, Turkey has signed gas and business deals that will triple trade with Iran. At the United Nations, Turkey abstained on a crucial vote, rebuking Iran for building a uranium enrichment plant in secret. Washington and Ankara also disagree on economic sanctions. Turkish officials say they share Washington goals. They are building trust and can act as a mediator. Turkey has floated an offer for Tehran to store some nuclear materials in a facility in Ankara, an alternative to a UN deal involving France and Russia. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Istanbul.
The largest meeting on climate change opened in Copenhagen today. The two-week conference is attracting 15,000 participants from 192 nations. They're expected to agree on a plan for richer nations to make substantial reductions in greenhouse gas emissions by the year 2020. At the U.S. Supreme Court today, the justices are to hear arguments testing the constitutionality of the anti-fraud law that grew out of the Enron scandal. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
In 2002, Congress passed a law designed to clean up the accounting abuses at publicly traded companies, abuses that led to the collapse of Enron and other major companies and ultimately shook the confidence in U.S. capital markets. The law created an auditing oversight board appointed and supervised by the Securities and Exchange Commission. A Nevada accounting firm that was investigated by the board is now challenging the constitutionality of the board itself on the grounds that the board members are neither appointed by the president nor answer directly to him. The government counters that the board is constitutional because it can take no action without the approval of the SEC. The argument is that the board is just like other officials supervised by the SEC, whether those officials be on other boards or SEC officials like the chief of enforcement. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington. A panel of South Carolina lawmakers will vote today on whether to recommend the impeachment of Governor Mark Sanford. The subcommittee has held a series of hearings to address charges against the governor, stemming from his five-day tryst in Argentina over the summer. From member station WFAE, Julie Rose reports.
The seven lawmakers charged with initial debate on the impeachment issue have spent the last 2 weeks examining charges that Sanford broke state ethics and campaign laws. For the most part, the committee has decided those charges are not serious enough to warrant impeachment. But there's still the lingering question of dereliction of duty. Did Governor Sanford do anything wrong when he secretly left the country to visit his Argentine mistress without telling anyone where he was going or how to contact him? And if so, does he deserve to be impeached for it? Some lawmakers believe so, but it's unclear whether they are a majority in the state legislature. Today's subcommittee vote will signal whether lawmakers intend to push ahead with impeachment or allow Sanford to serve out the last year of his term. For NPR News, I'm Julie Rose in Charlotte, North Carolina.
The federal government unveiled a new series of radio and television ads today to encourage people to get vaccinated against the swine flu. The ads will air in English and in Spanish. They're targeted at people with a higher risk of contracting the illness, such as children, young adults, and people with existing medical conditions such as asthma. Officials say the shortage of the vaccine is easing. Another 10 million doses are expected to become available this week. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 22 million people have come down with the H1N1 virus. About 3,900 people have died. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.